Okay. So on Wednesday night, we're going to be covering Fred in More About Alcoholism and those final pages of that chapter, and it's really powerful stuff. So if you can join us Wednesday at 7:30, and it hammers home to me my powerlessness. And then the next chapter we're going to cover is We Agnostics, which talks to us about where God is and why we need God, and powerful stuff. Tomorrow night we start A Vision for You. We're finishing the book up for the 10th time on Sunday night, and we're going to cover really, it's great stuff. So if you could join us at 6. I'm going to be meeting with people at 5, so don't tell me the ball scores if you can't help it. Anything else? Everybody have a fear inventory handout? If not, today we are in the fourth step on Saturdays. We covered the pages on fear, which is pages 67 and 68. Then we did the second step proposition exercise on fear. We spent 2 weeks on that. I'll be putting that out on the site, experiencethebigbook.org, this week. I'll put the first one up. Before we get to the sex inventory, I thought we'd go over this fear handout that I wrote 10 years ago. Maybe. I can't remember. I'm getting old. Maybe 9. And when I did this, I tried to, I did this for sponsees and I guess for the meeting. I tried to combine the second step proposition exercise instructions and the big book exercise instructions and what Joe and Charlie said. And when I read it the other day, I realized how much more I see now. So that was really an opener to me. What I saw then and how I see fear today, I see so much more. And it says, and this is, sorry, Stu, but I typed it wrong. Patty said she would add all my new stuff, but she didn't have time yesterday, and I think it'll be on the site. Why do we inventory fear? Now, I was watching Netflix last night, a really good thriller, and the quote said, "Fear produces anger, anger produces hate, and hate produces suffering." I think that could define our whole lives, right, as alcoholics. And we're going to inventory our wrongs in step 4, right? And then we're going to look at the exact nature of them. And fear is a wrong. It's a wrong belief. It's not true. Why is fear not true? Because it's not in the now. It's something that we think or we're projecting may happen, but it's not right now. Now that's helped me a lot, because I realize whenever I'm afraid or worry about anything, I'm not in the now, I'm separated from God. And guess what? I don't feel good when I'm separated from God. And I've been studying the scriptures, and this man who's been teaching me scriptures, he said that, I think it was St. Augustine, a long time ago, said that we'll always be restless when we're not connected to God. And isn't that our story? We're never at peace. And the big book says fear is evil for us. And they call it an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence is shot through with it. So if you were to put a tapestry up here of your life, whoever's there, put your name up there. Beautiful tapestry. Should be in the Metropolitan Museum of Art, except that we've put this evil and corrosive thread through the whole thing and made it look so ugly. And that's what my life was like. When I look back now and I look at my life, I see how, wow, fear dominated me, and it made me do things that caused me harm and made bad decisions. Anybody else do that? And harmed others. And I wrote here, it dominated my life. Dominated my life towards the end. Did anybody have a lot of fear towards the end? I think towards the end, the last days, fear is just everything. Didn't want to answer the phone, didn't want to get the mail. It sets in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune, which felt we felt we didn't deserve. Anybody else think that? They didn't deserve what happened to them, but I look back, I took actions out of fear. I made decisions based on fear and then acted on them. I try not to do that today. That's always a mistake. And they say it ought to be classed with stealing. It causes more trouble. What did it steal? It stole my peace of mind. It stole my life, really, in so many ways. And all my judgment and anger is based in fear. So then why do I have fear? Why do we get it? Joe and Charlie say we're afraid we won't get what we want, right? From people, dependence on people rather than God. We're afraid they will find out what we did. I harm people. Those are the people I was afraid to have come through the room, right? Because I had resentments towards them, and then I realized I needed to make amends to them. And isn't there a promise that says we will lose our fear of people? Anybody ever heard that in a meeting? We read a lot of meetings. How do we lose our fear of people? What are they talking about? We're not afraid of these people coming through the door that we harm because we're willing to make amends. That's a great freedom. I go to the supermarket, I'm not afraid to go down the aisles anymore. And that promise comes true when you're on step 9. We're afraid they'll find out we did. We're afraid they'll take away something we already have, our money, our sex life, our ambitions, our material things, and what we think we need to have. And fears are a result of having areas in your life which you have not given or unwilling to give to God. That's the key thing for me. I didn't realize that. If I have fear today, whatever the fear is connected to, it's some area in my life that I'm managing. And when I manage, I'm going to have fear. And so don't we talk about not being the director anymore? And we all say we don't want to, right? But we do it. How do you know when you're doing it? You got some stupid fear in your head. You're anxious about something. And then if you get fear, you're going to get angry about something. And so if you're angry or in fear, you're not in the now with God. That's what kills alcoholics. What we learn now is how, through step 10, to stay in the now. And when fear and anger come in, we move them away. And so we can be in the now. The now is good, by the way. Because the now, I'm not running my life. And it says, if you're controlling any area of your life, you're relying on self in that area. And the book says, why do we have fear? Because self-reliance failed me. I still remember the first time I read it. It was like a brick hit my head. Now, it didn't change me. I still, didn't get spiritually perfect with that moment, but it really was insightful because I realized that I was relying on me and it didn't work. And I was afraid all the time. That's on page 68, I believe. And so we review I wrote a couple things. Delusion on page 61, it says that I had a delusion, which isn't good. That means I see something that I think is true and I act on it. I had a delusion that I could manage happiness and satisfaction out of life if I managed it well. Anybody have that? So when I was probably 5 or 6 years old, I tried to figure out what I needed to get approval and to feel okay. And then I sought those things, sought to manage my life to get those things. It was never enough. You'll never get enough out there to be okay. I've learned that today. The only time I'm okay is when I'm doing God's will and I'm in the now and I'm out of this. And so I was constantly threatened. And so if you can turn to this, I have a different hand, this chart on the self and instincts of life. I've gone through this about 18 trillion times. It's a lot, but we're going to do it again, sorry. This chart I got from, there was a Joe and Charlie PDF that I got years ago. And this is the cause of why my life is a mess. And it can be a mess today. If we all have three instincts of life. And they're not bad. social instinct, security instinct, and sex instinct. The sex instinct isn't bad, but we mismanage it. We use it to get things for ourselves, you see? Security instinct isn't bad. We need a place to live. We need shelter. We need to work and live with other people. And we all need some ambitions in life, but our ambitions were centered on self and not what God wanted. So as long as self is in here, I'm going to be out of control with my sex instinct and my security instinct. I'm never going to have enough of either to feel okay. And when I do that, it triggers resentment, fear, and I harm people. Do you see that? And the social instinct is the one that's really a killer for everybody when they come in here, because I want to belong and be accepted, right? So I'm figuring out, what do I need to do to get you to like me or be accepted? How am I managing things? We all want prestige, but we want to be driving our car and have everybody in the world staring at me saying, wow, he is great. And it needs to be on CNN and Fox. We don't care anymore. But it's ridiculous because we never get enough prestige. We want more and more. It's never enough. Self-esteem is the killer. If you notice in the big book, when they do the three columns next to self-esteem, they always have fear. So we're afraid that people won't think good of me. And then when they don't think good of me, I don't feel good about myself. Or I think bad about myself, and then I don't think they like me. So my self-esteem is based on dependence on other people. What does it say in the big book about dependence on other people? It's not the deal. We need to depend on God. So I can't depend on other people to tell me how I am. I just, my relationship with God, and if I'm doing God's will, that's the best I can be. And pride is, in the 12 of 12, I think it says, pride is on the other side of the ruinous coin of fear. Fear on one side and pride. And our pride is always affected. Remember, we read the narcissistic personality disorder definition. I won't read it again. It's too depressing. But that's what Dr. Thibault said we have. And our pride is a killer. We have an excessive and unjustified opinion of oneself. Remember, I may not be much, but I'm all think about. And then I'm a narcissistic with an inferiority complex. So our pride is always threatened because it's based on how I see myself against the world. And our personal relationships get out of control because we want people to fill our needs. We're not happy with him or her because they're not giving me enough approval, right? They're not telling me I'm wonderful. They're not doing what I think they should be doing. And they don't like that because they have their own personality. And then my ambitions are all to get my pride, self-esteem, and all these other things fulfilled. So as long as I'm self-centered, I'm going to have wrong thinking, which is resentment, fear, and harming others. Now, this can be treated. The only treatment I know of this is steps 3 through 11 and working step 12 every day, 10 and 11, and putting God in the center all the time. Now, how do I know when I need to do that? When I'm angry or fearful or I'm harming others. And then I say I need to get back to God. Now, I don't know how to do that when I come in here. Step 3 is where I make a decision to do that. Anybody think that's a good decision?
Yeah.
Yeah, but step 3 won't work unless followed by action. Now, 4 through 9 is the actions I need to do to get there and put myself in the world of the Spirit where God is there and I'm living with Him. But unfortunately, that world is very fragile. It says we have a daily reprieve based on our fit spiritual condition. And so all day long, I have to go from self back to God. And that we use 6 and 7, and we do 4 through 9 all day long. Is this helpful? It helps me a lot. And when you do your 4th step, we're going to see how this is comes to pass. So we put on paper our fears. Now, when you do your 4th step with resentment, you're afraid of all the people on your list. And you'll see a lot of fears related to these people. And some of the items in the list of resentment have Fenir connected with them, and you can put those on your list. Like my fear of approval, not getting what I want, people not liking me, how the world sees me, people fear that they'll find out what I did to them. All of those fears that you see on your resentment list, you can put them on your fear list. You could just, as you're doing your four step, as I do them with people, we look at the fears for each resentment, and you can see those are basic fears that we all have. God doesn't love me. We're going to do a thing next week, which I got from listening to somebody on the internet, where they did their fear inventory and they listed how the fears all relate to each other. Those are our basic fears, where we see the world wrong and we don't see the world through the way God sees us in the world. And then it says you list people, institution, or principles that you fear. Joe and Charlie had the IRS on their resentment, fear, and sex inventory, because they hated them, they feared them, and they got screwed. I thought it was funny at the time. You could put the police, the IRS, your mother-in-law, anybody that you ever had any judgment against, you're actually afraid of. You're afraid of the way they think about you. You could sit in an AA meeting, if you're a really good alcoholic, and find somebody that you know doesn't like you, and that you know they don't like you, and then you're starting to get angry at them. They haven't said a word. But it may be me today. Good luck. Deal with it. Column two is the calls. Are they going to do something to me? Are they going to take something from me, not get what I want? If you look at the first example, was the guy that was working in his office in the book. He said he's going to take my job. He's paying too attention to my wife. He's going to tell the wife about my mistress. You know, I'm going to lose my job. It's pretty clear. It's a great example of dominated by fear. So you can list them. You can write the calls. And opposite any name, you can write what part of self was affected. You look at this list. It's not really complicated. And so you're always going to be affected if you're in self. So you're learning a lot from your four step. You're learning how, when you're separated from God, your self-centered personality dominates you, and it produces fear, and you act on it. And then columns four, what did I do? Did I do anything to set the ball rolling and cause the fear? What actions did I take? What did I say? What was I thinking, imagined or real? When people hurt me, was it because I was afraid and acted? It could be something for me as simple as I always used to worry about the schedule. I was extremely busy. I don't think I ever had a day when I sat around. But if I saw that I had an opening or didn't get a new patient, I was afraid, because I thought the whole world saw that Michael's no good because he doesn't have a new patient. Now, it sounds ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And I knew it was ridiculous, but I would still get afraid. Why? Because I'm not good enough. Why don't I have a full schedule? Now, I began to get over that and laugh about it. But it took me years, and it took me getting in the program and working the steps. And the nurses would, I was going to call them girls, but they're professionals. I say, the nurses would always say, well, doctor, don't worry about 3:30. It's 9 o'clock. You got three people to see, right? And then at 3:30, and I have three emergencies going on. And they go, gee, it's too bad we didn't have that new patient today, isn't it? You know, and I laugh at myself. It's an example of my personality, where I was never really felt good enough on my own. I needed approval. And I got over that, and I laugh at it now. If you're in here a while, you're going to laugh at your fears when you get them. They're just so silly. And so now when I get a fear, I don't have to put anything in the God box anymore. I just say, that's really silly. And I trust God. That's the difference. I know God's in charge. I trust God. It'll work out. My son died. I got through that with God. What else could be worse than that? And the other thing is, whatever you're worried about today, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The thing that's going to happen is something you haven't worried about. And when it happens, We God says you can handle calamity with serenity if you stay close to me and do my work well. So on column 5, where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate? What character defects? And then you can use our list on the back to look at any of the other character defects that have to do with the fear. And if you look at them, you know, is your pride threatened? Is your greed, your lust, your envy, sloth, gluttony? Are you impatient, intolerant? Why am I impatient? Because if I'm not getting what I want right away, well, isn't that because they don't recognize me and I'm not good enough and somebody's in front of me at Walgreens and has 80 coupons? Don't they know I'm Michael the Magnificent? How can they stand there? Why don't they open another register for me? I used to actually think like that. I don't do it anymore. I'm glad they have the coupons because they need them. They don't have any money and it makes a big difference to them. So it says we're now in a, I'm in peace when I'm God. I made some notes. When I'm fear, I'm in self. And in self, I trigger the personality that's on the left-hand side. See, if my soil is in self-centered, the root of my troubles is in me, this is my personality. Now, people come in here and they don't know that. They think they have a problem with alcohol. Alcohol is just a solution to living like this. This is the problem. And unless we change our personality, nothing's going to change. Now, here's the other problem. In the beginning, I tried to change my personality. I woke up every day, I'm going to do better. I realized that's not the program. The program is to let God make me better, and I let go of the things that are blocking me, and God will automatically take care of it. It's automatic when I ask God to change the way I'm seeing it. It just changes immediately. And then I was reading some of this to my wife. She says, do you go through all these thoughts all day when you get fear? I said, well, not all the time, honey, because I know it's just a waste of time. It's just fear. And she says, you know, yeah, you don't worry about anything anymore. The stock market can crash. You don't even check it anymore. God will take care of me. And so we see our fears and cause, and we see the exact nature of our wrongs fear-wise. Because that's what I need to admit to myself and somebody else, because unless I admit that, I won't take steps 6 and 7. And I won't want to have God remove all these character defects. And 6 and 7 isn't something you do once and you get off your knees and you're perfect. You do it every minute. It's how you live your life. The character defect comes up. You say, I don't want to be there. God, change me. Practice the opposite. And as you do it a while, Joe and Charlie says, you used to practice all your character defects, and you stop and you start practicing the characteristics that God gave you. Why? Because you feel better. So if I feel bad today, it's my own fault. I'm choosing me rather than God. And that's why the second step proposition is God everything or nothing. If God's everything in my life, I don't have fear. If he's nothing, I have fear. And so it says, how do we remove fear? This is from the big book. It says we live on the basis of trusting God rather than ourselves in all areas of our lives. Now, why is it good to trust God in all areas of your life? Because God has all the power. See, it's insane for me to be running my life when God's in charge of it. You see how that doesn't work? And so in that handout, on the second step proposition, it says I have to write what I want doesn't matter everywhere. It's only what God wants that matters. And each day I want a vision of God's will for what God wants for me, right? And I wrote here that when I do this, I see how my old ideas come into play. And my idea about God, and my idea about what's going to make me happy, and my idea of what's going to build my self-esteem and how I look at the world, those are old ideas. Now, from the second step proposition, it says you look at the areas of your life which you haven't given to God. And, you know, it could be your career. You're worried about your career, your job, your marriage, your health, relationship, finance. What are you worrying about today? It could be any of these. And in that exercise, it says you look at these areas, you have a card, and next to career, you write, why am I afraid to give my career to God? And then the prayer is, God, remove my fear and direct my attention to how I should be. How should I be when I'm afraid of my career? How does God want me to be? And it says some examples, you know, your career, you're not getting what you want, not enough money, health looking bad, body, relationships, providing, hobbies, sex life, spiritual life. And we pray to God to remove our fears. And, you know, I wrote this a long time ago. I didn't add a lot of this stuff, as you can tell. I ask him how to be, and I know how he wants me to be now. He wants me to be loving, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, and compassionate. The book says love and tolerance is our code. It also says on page 83, it's not read any meaning, we read the promises. In the morning, in our meditation, we ask God how we can practice love, patience, tolerance, kindness towards our family and the world. And we pray to God to let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We trust God, it says, never apologize for God. Now, how do you learn to trust God? You work the steps, it happens. We're going to start out with believing that and willing to believe and believing that there's a power that can help me and deciding that. But when you work the steps and you start living these steps, you realize that there's a power you can go to and trust it. And the more you go to it, the more you trust it, and it becomes automatic. And so it's a great gift. We call that a spiritual awakening. The spiritual awakening occurs all day long to me when I realize I'm back in self and I don't need to be there. I can be over here. God, change me. We ask God to match calamity with serenity. The line I saw in the big book when I got the call at 7:30 in the morning, I was down in the lower level. I was standing on the stairs. They said the ER. My first thought was, I'm not on call. Why are they calling me? You know, I'm an alcoholic. And then they said, you know, your son just died. And so I saw this line. It says, when we let God demonstrate through us how we can be and we stay close to him, we can handle calamity with serenity. Now, who put that thought in my head? It was God. And then immediately he sent people to go with me to the hospital and be with me those days. And then I started this meeting, actually, because of that event in my life, so that people could learn the big book and they wouldn't have to die in their car at 3:30 in the morning. They could get a power in their life so they didn't have to use. He was only 22, I think. And it's been 10 years, I think. We humbly rely on him and only play the role he assigns to the extent we do as we think he would have us. Now, I've learned something from studying the scripture and from the Serenity Prayer, is that what I'm really seeking all day long is wisdom. I'm seeking wisdom. Ask and it should be given, knock and the door will open, and seek and you'll find. And that has to do, as explained to me, is wisdom. Seeking God's wisdom, not things, but his wisdom and his knowledge of his will for us. And I need that wisdom and knowledge all the time. And so we pray for knowledge of his will for us, the power to carry out. Now, one other thing I'd like to mention is we have a contract with God if you've taken step three. It's a powerful contract. Anybody remember, it's on page 63. And I have a contract. And it says, one, God is my father and director, not me. Two, I work for him. I don't work for anybody else. Three, he will provide what I need. Wow. Four, if I keep close to him and perform his work well, I'll get everything I need. Now, how do I keep close to God and perform his work well? Well, that's what we're talking about in our fear inventory. When I'm back in fear, I'm not working for him, I'm not close to him, so I have to get back to him right away so I can do his work and his will. And then here's the greatest gift. I give him worry. And I got that from Dr. Paul O, who wrote the Acceptance Alcoholic Addict chapter. I heard him talk, and he says, we give God worry. So that's why I have a God box. Anybody else have it? It's very helpful. Now, the thing I realized when I was doing this, I haven't got to the point where I really had to put anything in there for a long time, because I've been able to have God remove the fear by doing these actions. But in the beginning, I had a lot of stuff in there. And it's very helpful. And then I did look at the God Box like 2 years ago, and all the stuff I put in there was all the basic, the same stuff. You know, they were the same fears, the same worries over and over again. And if you're a real alcoholic, I suggest you try to do that and have a God Box. Call your sponsor, tell them what you're worried about, write it out, and put it in the box. If you're still worried about it, put it in again. Because once it's in the box, it's not in your hands anymore. And there's a lot of power in that. So the prayer for here is, God, direct my attention to what you would have me be, not do. Remove my fear. And it says we begin to outgrow fear. We never get over fear. We're always going to have self-centered glasses on, and we have to take them off all the time. So I wrote this, is God everything or nothing? So whenever I have a fear, I do the following. I look at whatever I'm controlling in my life that has to do with that fear, or is it triggering one of these basic fears I have about, you know, not having love or how people should be and not getting what I want, and I understand that. Then I say, why am I afraid to give my life to God right then? And I look at God wants me to be for every fear, and for me it's to trust God first. Faithful that he has a plan, grateful for where I am. I think when I get a lot of fear, I think about when I put my life in God's hands, it was better than anything I could have imagined. And you know, when I see birthdays and I see people come in and 6 months later they're celebrating, it tells me that. You know, and you could write tolerant, loving, intimate, all those qualities of God. And he writes in his thing, God, please help me. Father, I'm troubled here in the state. I cannot be helpful to those. Remove my fear of anger and fear of whatever. God, please help me replace my anger and fear with gratitude for what I have. Patience, you know, and you have a plan for my life. Faithfulness, the fact that you love me and want the best for me. Trust in you, that you always provide what I need if I keep close to you and perform your works well. Now, this is God providing what I need, not the new car I think I need. You get it? And what I need, the bread I need of life, is spiritual bread all the time. And then the other things come. And then here, how specifically can I be patient, trusting, loving, grateful, faithful, steward for God? And then if you want to do the right thing, I hear that a lot, I'm going to do the right thing. Has anybody ever heard that? Well, I didn't know what the right thing was till I started working the steps. And I don't know what the right thing is if I'm not getting the wisdom from God. That's a serenity prayer. God, give me serenity, peace, so that I can decide, see what I need to accept or change, and the wisdom to do that. And so that's where we go. We turn back to God all the time. And then I wrote here, I look at this every minute. I don't know about you, but it's a constant thing for alcoholics. Now, the one gift is the longer you do this, and I'm going to open it up, people could say, the longer you do this, it becomes automatic. You just don't want to feel like crap anymore. And if you feel like crap, it's your fault. And so my days don't have to be good or bad. I don't have to make them good or bad unless I choose to. So I really appreciate it. I went a little bit over. Ed's not here. Don't tell him. And Wednesday night, we're going to do Fred. And I hope you'll join us. Thank you. And tomorrow night, Vision for You.